I'd like to speak to you this morning about songs. Songs, I hope you would agree, connect with each one of us and collectively at a very deep level. The songs, the music, and also the lyrics speak to us, don't they? They help to express what we may be experiencing in our lives. And so we sing when we're happy. We can also sing when we're sad. We can sing when we want comfort. We can sing when we're looking for peace. We can sing when we're alone. When we can sing when we're all together, as we have done this morning together. We sing songs that express our situation. Songs that cry out for intervention. Songs that speak of thanksgiving for intervention. And songs build unity in our community. And they reveal who we are as a person. They reveal who we are as a community. And they help us to grow in that identity. Because the songs that we sing reflect something about ourselves. I'm sure as I'm speaking, you may be thinking of some songs that you like. You'll have your own playlist at home, whether on Spotify, whether on your iPad or some other device. I'm sure there are songs that are special to you, songs that remind you of a significant and special occasion. You've probably got a playlist of songs when you're out running. I have a playlist, but I don't run. We have different songs that we play, songs that put us in a mood, songs that calm us down. When we have people around for supper, you may have some nice mellow jazz that you like to play. The songs reveal something about us and help to create a mood. And of course, there are songs that go with the seasons. And I'm sure you found as you've been shopping out already, you've been hearing jingle bells. You've been hearing those Christmas songs in the shopping malls up and down our land. And there are songs that we associate with Christmas. This Advent and into Christmas Day, our teaching series is entitled The Songs of Christmas. Each Sunday, we're going to consider one of the songs from the scripture and from a carol that speak to us of what Advent is about. And the intention is, as we work our way through these songs, we'll be drawn afresh into the wonder of the Christmas story. And that will lead us to consider, as God's people and as God's community in Ashdod, to ask and answer this question: what song am I singing in my life? Whose song am I singing this Christmas? Is it the song that the angels are singing, the song that Christ has over you, the song that Jesus is singing over you and for me as we rest in his love? And so today we're going to begin with this song. O come, Emmanuel. Would you like to sit back and just listen for a minute or so? Thank you, Peter. Before the Nativity, before the birth of Jesus Christ, during a time of great darkness and agitation, fear and trembling, the people of God found their two kingdoms surrounded by another, by the superpower of the time, a pagan kingdom which had technology on its side, which had wealth on its side, which had military prowess on its side, and it was encircling the people of God, and it was threatening to invade and to extinguish the light of faith that the people of God were seeking to live. In the north and south kingdom, the respective kings were trembling with fear. Many of them, including the kings, were turning away from Yahweh and saying, how can this God who promised to Abraham, our forefathers, for us his defendants, to be a light unto the nations, to be as numerous as stars, expect to believe that right here, right now, when this kingdom of paganism, of worldly might, wealth and influence is threatening to overwhelm us? So they started to yield to temptations. They started to walk away from Yahweh. Attendance at the temple, spiritual living began to subside. And one of the kings began to negotiate with the ruler of the Assyrian Empire. And in these desperate and dark times, when the people were wondering, where are you, God? Are you real? Are you present? How can you preserve us in this great time of anxiety? God called a man called Isaiah to step out in faith and to speak to the people of influence in his day. And he came and spoke to the king and said, turn back to God. And as part of his audience, he said this, therefore the Lord will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Think of the time. Fear and trembling. Faith at that time was characterized by obedience to the ceremonial laws. It was very rare for there to be a personal connection with God. Yes, the leaders may have enjoyed it, and once a year the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. But you did not expect, as a devout Jew, to know God personally. And now, in this time of national turmoil and distress, a man of God speaks the word of God and says, I will send to you a Savior. What? A Savior. Born through a virgin, and you will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Not God aloof, not God distant, not God once removed, not God just for certain holy days and high days, but Emmanuel, God with you. I am promising my presence and my hope. And what will this Christ child, born of a virgin, remember how that would have been received at that time, with the understanding of the role of women, with the understanding of faith at that time? I will send to you a Savior. And who and what will he do? Peter, would you like to come and read for us?
Right, this is on page 694 of the Church Bibles, and it's a passage called To Us a Child is Born, Isaiah 9, 1 to 2 and 6 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles, by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And verse 6, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accompany this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Peter. So remember the context. Next slide, please, Juan. The context that you're in fear and dread. Your nation is about to be overwhelmed. And this prophet comes to you and said, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son who will be your Savior, who will be Emmanuel, God with you. And this Savior is going to be great and awesome. And he takes them back to their corporate memory as a people and said, remember in your past, in the past that you remember, how we, the people of God, overwhelmed a group of people who threatened to destroy us. He takes them back to those specific references to Naphtali and Zebulun and said, what God did then, he's going to do now. Don't worry about the Assyrians. God's got it under control. And not only is he going to destroy this clear and present danger now, but he's going to clear the clear and present danger for all of the generations to come, beyond your wildest imaginations. He's going to go from Galilee. Does that ring a bell with you? Who lived and breathed and worked and ministered out of Galilee? Jesus Christ. Do you start to see the links? 750 years before our Savior will be born in that stable in Bethlehem. And look again at those verses that Peter has read for us. Not only is God going to do a greater work than what he did in our historical past, not only is this Savior going to come from Galilee, and not only is this Savior going to be born of a virgin and be God with us, but he's going to build a kingdom that goes beyond the expanse that we once enjoyed in the past. And the reference there is not just a geographical extension of God's kingdom, but to the spiritual extension of the God's kingdom. Because at the time and to this day, the Jewish people understand that the Messiah has come for a particular people in a particular place, which is why the land of Israel is so important to our Jewish friends. Jesus will come and say, "My kingdom is not just physical, but it is spiritual, beyond all time and space, and you are going to be welcomed into it. This is the King who is coming. And what's more, he's going to be with you." Again, we know the story. It's so familiar to us. But it's absolutely shocking that God would come from heaven to earth. God would come to us, take on bodily form, in a way that only God could do through the virgin birth, and make himself real to us. And guess what? The government will be on his shoulders. The rule, the authority. Remember back to those times, the importance, the patronage, the power of the King. The King of creation. The King of heaven is coming to you, and he's going to be with you. With us. And he will be a wonderful counselor. Counselor, someone who guides, someone who helps, someone who listens, someone who understands. Good counselors, if you've ever had counseling. He's someone who listens in love, who is attentive and empathetic, who brings their wisdom and care and love to you so that you work with them and you reach your full potential. The wonderful counselor is coming. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There's more than the absence of conflict. It's this Jewish understanding of shalom, of being right with God, that we may know his presence today, tomorrow, for eternity. And he is coming to you. Next slide. It began so innocently on June the 23rd this year. After their weekly football practice, on the spur of the moment, a group of 12 teenage friends and their coach decided to go on a cycle ride to the local cave. And curiosity got the better of them, and they went exploring. And they got deeper and deeper. Having entered, curiosity really got hold of them. And as the weather changed outside and water began seeping into this cave, they found themselves having to go deeper and deeper in the hope of finding a place of safety and refuge. Because the waters were coming in, threatening to overwhelm them. And as they took each step further and deeper into the cave, waters flowed in, blocking their way out. It became cold, very cold. It became dark, very dark. In the darkness, terrified and cold, having walked for some distance, only wearing the clothes they worn for their football practice, they finally found a ledge above floor level on which to rest and to wait. And they waited. And they waited. And they waited. How do you think those 12 teenage boys and their adult coach felt as that waiting became permanent, dark, cold, terrified, dank, water rushing in, wondering at any point whether the water, which they could see just a few feet before them, would rise up and overwhelm them. The experience made all the more terrible because they were living in total darkness, confined to a small space with no food and no suitable clothing. For 10 days, this was to be their experience. Each day, waiting, hoping. And as they waited, and as they hoped, they gathered themselves together to keep warm. And they found themselves not just sharing stories, but singing songs to keep their spirits hope, to keep their faith alive. Each day, hoping and waiting that somehow, in a way that they could not conceive of, they will be rescued from the darkness of their desperate situation. And then, as we know, to their great amazement, and again, think how they must have been thinking of, they began to see a light start to come towards them under the water, reflected through the murky pool there in the lake. This light became brighter, and it was coming towards them. Could it really be coming towards them, this light? And then abruptly, the waters parted, and they were dazzled by the bright halogen light of a torch on the head of a cave diver who found them out, and then in a beautiful English accent, and remember these boys are from Thailand, said in English, "Don't worry. Many people are coming to rescue you and set you free." After 12 days, the boys and their coach were taken out into freedom, into new life. Speaking to journalists 2 months later, the boys conducted a press conference, and there you see them wearing a new football strip. What are they holding? They're holding a photograph of a Thai Navy SEAL who went to find and rescue them, who, as we know, died in the effort to set them free. Shortly after they spoke of their thanks, the coach was asked by a journalist, "How has this experience changed you?" This is what he replied. Ekinfol Chatwong, that's his name, remarked, "I still cannot understand how we came to the attention of the world, how you took us to your hearts, a simple football team from a small village, how your love for us led to a man dying for us to rescue us and set us free. All we could do in our cave was to wait and to hope, and we sang. And as we waited and sang, I did a lot of thinking about my future, about how things would be different if I had a second chance. And now we have been rescued. I have a new life. And I'm living differently now because of the decisions I made when I was there in that cave until I was rescued. Thank you." Remember the story? Remember how we were glued to our media, hoping and praying for their freedom? The experience, I believe, of those 12 boys and their coach in Tham Luang Nanar Cave in Thailand is a metaphor for us today as we begin our Advent journey. Today, we consciously begin this time of waiting and looking forward to celebrating the birth of Christ, the one who was promised to Isaiah 3,000 years ago, and the one who has not just come once, but is coming again in glory. And we're like those boys and that coach sitting on that ledge there, waiting and hoping for the light to come, knowing it's come once, but it's becoming again. And now in Advent, we're invited to think as we wait, as we sing our songs of Christmas, what type of life we are leading. Are we living the life through which the light of God is present, real and active? Has the Word become flesh? And is it dwelling in our hearts? And if it is, how deeply and fully is it dwelling in and through us? Is the hope that we have in Christ fully realized in terms of our surrender and openness to Him and enjoyment of the world He's given us to live in? This was the hope that was promised to Isaiah and the people when they were living in darkness and expecting themselves to be overwhelmed and put to death by the Syrians. They were set free, and the Savior did come. The light did come to transform the darkness. Emmanuel did come so that the religion that was corporate became individual. So that religion that was just for a small group, the Jews, became for all of humanity if we choose to receive it. The experience of the coach and those 12 boys was transformative in their lives, and I believe still is today. How have our lives been transformed by our faith in Jesus? Advent provides us with the opportunity to reflect on this light and to allow the light to fully inhabit our beings as we look forward to celebrating with joy and wonder that God is with us. So I close with this application. The invitation, as I invite myself to experience the presence of God afresh through our time of waiting and preparation this Advent. How are we preparing? Is there an openness to God? Perhaps you may be reading a particular Christian book. There's a series of readings in Advent books you can get. It may be just simply being open and attentive. It may be, and I hope this will be your experience, becoming regularly to our church and allowing ourselves to hear afresh the salvation story and welcoming the Spirit to speak to you as we hear the Advent story told afresh through the song of Zechariah, of Mary, of Simeon, as of Elizabeth, of the angels and the wise men, so that you may know and sing this song afresh. This is the invitation of Advent. May you choose in your own way each day to have your own Advent calendar. In a way that's right for you, in a time that's right for you, find a way of opening that window of faith afresh and seeing what's inside. Allow it to nourish your soul, just like that little chocolate, and to be open to God as we wait. For as a fine French Christian author and philosopher, Simone Weil, wrote, "Waiting patiently in expectation, abiding with God, is the foundation of a full life with God." Let me say that again as I close. Waiting patiently in expectation, abiding with God, is the foundation of a full life with God. Amen. A moment to be still. And then I'm going to lead us in a prayer and invite us, as Nick and the band lead us, to allow God by His Spirit to continue to speak to us as we sing of His light. Thank you, Lord, that you are Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, as we journey onwards together, help us, Lord, in a way that is right for us as your people, to wait patiently with you and for you. Help us, Lord, to find a way to be present with you through moments in each day. Help us, Lord, to abide more fully with you, and as we abide, to grow in the richness of your presence, your peace and joy, and to live in the reality of your presence. as we wait and as we look forward to celebrating together your Son's birth, the light made real.